really speak. I've been so excited for the last week, I'm not sure whether I can get it all out. But didn't you love that this morning? Didn't you love people operating in the Spirit? Didn't you love that boy at the back there? Yay! So exciting. Look, who enjoyed last week's message with Gary? Man, that was a blessing, was it not? That was so good. And then the week before, Jed was sharing about a prophet in the Old Testament called Jonah. That was an excellent word. And I think what was fascinating, it was a reminder of how in the Old Testament, prophets... Okay, that looks good. Looks good. Prophets were singular people who understood the heart and the mind of the Lord and conveyed it to Israel or various other nations surrounding. They were the ones who God downloaded his thoughts, his judgments, his encouragements, and then they spoke them out to Israel or to wherever he had sent them. So interesting in that age, because the prophets were so important. And do you remember, all of you Old Testament readers of the Bible, when Moses was seeking the Lord and the good Joshua noticed that there were some elders in the camp who were prophesying? He got hysterical. Moses, the elders are prophesying. And guess what Moses said? Would to God they all prophesied. And guess what? We live in the age of the Holy Spirit, the new day, the new order. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. And did you know what? Everybody here who is born again, who is baptized in the Holy Spirit and can speak in tongues, can prophesy. Oh, Gwen, no, that's only for special people. Let me tell you, if the Spirit of the living God is dwelling in you, then you've got potential. You've got potential to prophesy. But I thought it was for special people. It's their calling. They were the ones who made that drawing on their deposit Ben was talking about. They made withdrawals. They actually stirred up their heart and took hold of God to prophesy. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit brought the greatest change that the earth had ever known. Yes, Jesus had died for our sins, rose from the dead, went back to heaven, but he sent his Spirit. The Old Testament order convinced us how inept mankind was at obeying the law. But for the New Testament, God, through grace, gave us an empowering Holy Spirit to enable us to live the life that pleased God. In Acts 2, it says all of them. It wasn't just like there was 120 perhaps. There wasn't 118 who the Spirit fell on. It was all of them. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. He brought the supernatural to every single believer. Extra help had turned up to enable the believers to achieve God's plan in the earth. That's why you have been dosed with the Holy Spirit. You know, I had an imagination this morning. I wished that I could have here as a little prop a set of drawers and a bookshelf. Because sometimes when you are Pentecostal, you get saved, filled with the Spirit, you pull a drawer out, you put tongues in the drawer and shut the drawer, and then you put your gifts, you know, the gifts that you manifested in that when you were first saved and filled with the Spirit, you put them up on the shelf. And if someone says, are you baptized? Yeah, I'm baptized in the Spirit. Can you speak in tongues? Yeah, I can speak in tongues. I just don't use them. And what are your gifts? Oh, I've got the gift of this and I've got the gift of that and everything else, but they're on the shelf at the moment. I'll get round to it. But you know what? I want to stir you today to know that we haven't got much more time. We got to stir this gift going. This church, you think this church was built here? No, it was built in a house meeting. And in the house meeting, we prayed ourselves silly and then we operated the gifts for hours each night. We were born into the gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you, a young 22-year-old young man came. Now, this is a long time ago. But he came into our fellowship that we were having this night. Often we used to have to carry people to the car because they were so under the power of the Spirit. This young man was 23 years of age. We never met him. He wasn't saved. One of the guys who came regularly invited his boss's son. Stuff's happening in this meeting, boy. So this boy came. He introduced himself. We sat around. We prayed. Within an hour and a half, he was saved, filled with the Spirit, and operating in the word of knowledge. But what was incredible was I knew all the people in the group. He didn't. But he began to say things that he couldn't have known about each person. And there was one person who had difficulty driving. She wasn't a real good in the car. And he came up to her, sat beside her, and he said, "Look, I feel God wants to say to you that when you get in your car," nobody had said a word to him, "when you get in your car, bow your head and say, 'Lord Jesus, lead me and help me.'" And he said, "Your troubles will be over." So then we took him outside onto the front doorstep when we were trying to send everybody home. He looks around at all the neighbours and he says, "You know, some of these people are going to be saved through other people's influence." He said, "There's a house over there." He said, "They're very receptive to God." And we had just led that man to the Lord and prayed with his wife for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So that you don't have to be mature. That's a false thing. You don't have to work your way up. And finally, one day you get there and you be qualified. The spirit of prophecy comes on. Look at Saul in the Old Testament. Look at Saul in the Old Testament. Not your nicest person, in a bad state with God, gets amongst the prophets and started prophesying the mind of the Lord. So it's not dependent on maturity. Anyway, I also know a fabulous story about a man in England who, a few years back, they were having revival and there was a men's meeting, 25 men or so in the meeting. And this man took the key, locked the door and said, "Nobody gets out until you prophesy." So 25 men prophesied that night. But he said that over the years, many of them really developed their spiritual gifts and became incredible influencers in the body of Christ because they stirred up what God had given them. They became missionaries, teachers, pastors, etc. They made a drawing on their account that night. So what is prophecy? Well, it's foretelling, and it's really declaring what God is, who he is, his heart for a person, what's on his mind. And then there's foretelling. And foretelling is when somebody says something before it actually happens. And the clearest example I've got, it's an old example, but it's the clearest one I know. When Darwin was flattened in 1974, a woman stood up in the Assemblies of God Church a week before and told them by the Spirit that Darwin would be flattened. It happened a week later. So that's knowing something before it happens. But there's also prophetic teaching, prophetic preaching, and prophetic singing with Pete this morning. He did a little bit of prophetic singing. There are prophetic artists. But with prophecy, you communicate the mind and the heart of the Lord to bring relief, to bring hope. So why prophesy? Why should we prophesy? What's the go with prophecy? Ooh, bit spooky, you know, what's this stuff? You know, well, let me look at the Bible. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:31, prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So the purpose is instruction and encouragement. So instruction and encouragement. 1 Corinthians 14:26, it said all of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. It's not fluffy little stuff that you can take or leave. It is actually for the strengthening of the church. 1 Corinthians 14:12, it says, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. So we've got instruction, encouragement, strengthening of the faith of the church, building up their faith, and building up the church as a whole. Then it says in 1 Corinthians 12:4, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Not the common bad, but the common good. It's not the common frustration. It's not the common gripe. Prophecy is not to express your gripes. It's to express the heart of God. So, you know, where there is no prophetic voice, there is a weak, under-encouraged church. The church is as weak as, I think, people knowing and speaking the mind of the Lord. Everyone can prophesy. So it doesn't put one up above another. Everyone can prophesy. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you have the spirit of prophecy really living within you. So prophecy is actually to be used frequently. As God's prophetically privileged people, we are to be characterized by regular prophetic activity. You know why? Because God's always talking. God's always saying something. If you feel quiet and God's not saying anything, just get your tuner a little bit cleaned up. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire. What? You mean I've got to actually want to prophesy? Well, yeah. Yeah. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, like, there's 9 scriptures here where it said to prophesy. We are not cessationists here. We don't believe it stopped way back there. We believe this is the age of the Holy Spirit. I will never forget, back in the 50s, there was a lot of teaching that was a little bit off about waiting for the Holy Spirit. It meant you had to tarry. So because they tarried in Jerusalem, you had to tarry. And, you know, it could take days, weeks, months before you got the Holy Spirit. And there was a lot of grueling waiting. And then a guy who, I've forgotten his real name, but he was known as Mr. Pentecost, had a revelation that the Spirit was already poured out. Did you know thousands of people all over America and the Western world got baptized in the Holy Spirit because they realized the Spirit was poured out? So it's not something you have to cook up. All that's required to have the Holy Ghost is to yield and to believe. Simple as. Everyone can prophesy. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, be eager. Do you know what? I think sometimes a good question to ask people is, what's God saying? It keeps you in tune. Are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you hearing God, or are you just living your own life and doing church and stuff like that? Jesus operated in the word of knowledge. What about the woman at the well? He said, go and tell your husband. She said, oh, he's not my husband. He said, yeah, I know. You've had 5, and the one you're with's not your husband. And so what did that do, that simple bit of knowledge that he couldn't have known any other way by the Spirit? She ran off and said, I found a prophet. And they all came to Christ. Then you've got Nathanael. Jesus was collecting disciples, and he was walking along, and he said something to Nathanael. Nathanael said, how did you know that about me? Jesus said, I saw you sitting under the tree. And that brought him to Christ. He said, truly you are the Son of God. Paul encourages us to seek all manner of gifts, especially prophecy. We are to desire them eagerly. It's actually a compelling command. Look, you might get to heaven and say, Lord, I tried to be the nicest person I could be. I really was loving. I tried to love my neighbour. But he'll say, did you use your gifts, girl or boy? Did you use your gifts? But I thought I had to just be a nice person. Well, yeah, a nice person who loves actually stirs up their gifts. If you genuinely care for your neighbour, get prophetic. Get prophetic. You know, that contrasts with the picture painted by some evangelicals and charismatics who built a theology around their fears, and they develop an over-cautionary approach, you know. There's a fear of doing something wrong. The fear of being not God and them is so strong that it quenches them entirely. And, you know, you've heard people, and I think I might have even said this myself, I'll bring something if the Lord gives it to me. You know, it's so spiritual sounding. But in actual fact, you have to make a draw on the account. Seek the Lord for it. Paul's approach is the opposite. Do we actively, regularly and consistently ask God and look for spiritual gifts? This whole church was born in spiritual gifts. I can't help saying that. I was embarrassed when I went to Nagaland at the beginning of this year. I went over there to teach on spiritual leadership to these Bible students, and of course they give you job after job after job. You teach for 4 hours every day, and then you have to preach the next day at some church. Then we had an encounter meeting on the Saturday, and we had to have an encounter meeting at night. I was to preach. I was to pray for all the people and prophesy over them. Well, I tell you, by that Saturday night, I always felt like I had very little left in the jar. But one thing I know in the Lord, when you feel your worst, he's likely to operate powerfully. So I thought, I'll just go in faith and pray for these people. So there's girls all this side, boys that side, and I'm praying, you know, and I'm just saying whatever comes in my mind. The band's going, I can hardly hear myself think or anything anyway, but I'm saying some encouraging words over to each person, and I'm moving, and I'm not looking around, and I know for about 10 minutes I'm doing this. And then I look back, and I looked on the floor, and they're all on the floor shaking under the power of God, crying because I had an encounter with the Lord. One woman is interceding for Nagaland. There's all these girls flat on their backs. I just couldn't believe it. And I was a little bit convicted. I was convicted because of my lack of reaching out to God in those giftings, particularly for these hungry, thirsty people. I had for sharing the word and all of that and praying for people. But on the way home in the plane, I said, oh God, I want to get deeper. I want to stretch. I want to stretch where I'm actually stepping out in faith and seeing you work, and let there be provision made for people to have encounters with you on a deeper level. So I did that. Okay, so I think sometimes even if we're prophetic and we do the occasion, ask God to stretch you, stir you up, and take you on. When we take our responsibility seriously, we actually become the true body of Christ. That Christ intends to build each other up, and where we can go out and influence families, workplaces, businesses, schools, hospitals. I got a word of knowledge right in the middle of Redcliffe Hospital when I was acting up as the assistant director of nursing, and I'm in terror and not knowing what I'm supposed to do in that role. I get invited to a big luncheon with all these posh doctors and nurses and everything else. And as I walked through the door, the Holy Spirit said to me, they're going to ask you to say grace. I said, Gwen, don't be stupid. You're so religious. Shut that up. Shh. So then I sat down at this massive table with all these bigwigs. I would have rather have said grace in the United Nations meal than in this mob who already knew that I was one of the God Squad. So my enemies were there as well, you know, sort of thing. So all of a sudden, the boss man leans over and says, Gwen, will you say grace for us? I froze. But then as I was trying to get myself to stand up, the Holy Spirit said, Gwen, don't look like you don't know what you're doing. You're the only one here who does. So I thought, okay. So I stood up and I did a Pentecostal grace. And you know, in the middle of that Pentecostal grace, I had a funny experience. I transitioned from the world of where we live with our guardednesses, our reserves, and I felt like I went through into another area. I was only a hair's breadth from jumping on the table and saying, where will you spend eternity? I realized that what stops us from doing God things is sheer fear of man. It's pride of life. We don't want anyone to think bad of us. Oh, God, deliver us from that. But I felt so powerful in grace. I mean, I ask you, a powerful grace. But anyway, I did, and I sat down. The Pentecostal thing was still on me. I could not get my potato to get on the fork. So I believe we take the gifts to the world. We take them out. So the church builds itself. No one else builds it. That's what Gary said last week. It's not built by leaders, programs, and 10 easy steps. It builds itself as we build ourselves up in our most holy faith and then build the body of Christ. The empowering, strengthening that comes through the Word of God and operating the gifts. We build ourselves through the gifts. You know, our gifts are foundational to building a church. So why operate the prophetic gifting, I ask you? Okay. Why ask? Well, I'll tell you. A couple of years back, we had a women's meeting in here, and we had a lady who'd gone through something very sad, and she had had quite an oppression over her life, and we all decided to pray for her this day. And I remember Felicity standing up and walking across and giving this woman the most powerful prophetic word and speaking of the mind of the Lord over this lady, that that yoke was completely broken off her life and she never had it again. Why do we prophesy? That's why we prophesy. That's why we prophesy. You know, 2 years ago we had a missionary come to visit us, and at that time we were having prayer nights, so many nights at the beginning of each month, and one night fell on a Sunday night. We had our meeting, we went into the kitchen out the back there. I brought the missionary lady with me, and we started praying, and then we started to pray for this lady, and then all of a sudden Peter and Lynn began to put prophetic encouragement in this woman. She cried her eyes out. She said to me later, she said, "I haven't felt that sort of encouragement for years." That's why we prophesy. Don't you want to be a participator in that? About a week ago, I have a lovely friend who I led to the Lord at the gallery, and so now I have been spending a bit of life with her, and she's just broken her hip recently. She's had to transition from her home to a nursing home in Nunda, and she was in a transitional care place for a while, and all of this can be a bit oppressive to a person. She's a really vital lady and an artist, and suddenly this turn comes, and so I always pray with her when I see her. But this particular week ago, I was with her in the transitional care place, and I put my hand on her arm, and all of a sudden I sensed a real download from the Father's heart for her. And I felt he wanted her to know that he was carrying her and that he had a hope and a future for her, and that it was very bright, and that he had some lovely things up ahead for her. But it came out of the blue, and I finished the prayer and opened my eyes, and this lady's staring at me. She said, "Thank you, my friend, who always gives me hope." That's a reason to prophesy. That's a reason to prophesy. So you're a hope giver. You can lift people's out of their ordinary thinking. They're struggling, they're striving, to remind them, like our brother did this morning, reminded us that Jesus loved us, that his passion for us, his heart for us. You know, I couldn't help remember back in the early days, like we have the good Beverly here who regularly has edified us with her prophetic words. I remember being in the meetings where Beverly learned how to do that. She would start off in the early days. She went on then and developed the gift and has been a regular edifier and contributor to people's faith levels. I also remember another woman in our midst who used to have tongues and interpretation regularly in our church for years. She's not here now. But I remember the first meeting where we're all sitting waiting on the Lord, and she says, "I think I've got something. Jesus loves you." I mean, nobody in the room didn't know that, but on the other hand, it was her first step out onto the diving board. Do you know, as the weeks went by, she began to get very, very substantial encouragements for the people in the group. So how can I develop the gift? Well, to properly release the prophetic gifts in our lives, we've got to be in the love of God. You've actually got to love your neighbour. You've actually got to want to help your neighbour. It's not about what I can get, it's about what I can give. We can't afford to have a spirit full of issues with people. We have to see people the way God sees them, and we have to speak to them the way God would speak to them, full of grace and kindness. The second thing to do if you want to develop it is seek God for that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Develop your listening ear. Develop it. God, I want to hear you more. Were you saying that, Lord? I want to be in tune with the Holy Spirit every minute. Do you know, I had some Asians who come stay with me that are fruit pickers, and it's my third year this year. And nobody's ever been allergic to my cat, right? But this year, I had two coming to visit me to check the house out, and I had this inner certainty that one was going to be allergic to the cat. I mean, this is ridiculous, you might think, but I was in training. God was training me. I was so certain that when they came to the front, I picked my cat up and walked out so they'd know straight away. So the woman looks at me and she says, "Does the cat come inside?" I said, "Yes, and if you leave your door open, he'll sleep on your bed." And she said, "I'm allergic to cats." I said, and then they had a bit of a chat, and they decided to stay to check it out to see if it bothered her in any way. She ended up staying for 6 weeks. But you think, well, nobody got saved. Nothing big happened, but I realized it gave me a more confidence that this sometimes these inner certainties. I've heard Debbie in years past have a gift of faith operate in her kitchen over there by saying something was going to happen, and then it actually happened, came to pass. She made a suggestion for someone that they did this, 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 and this, and it all happened. So it happens more, I think, than we give ourselves credit for. I think sometimes we overlook that inner voice. We crowd him out. So you seek for that sensitivity. The best place to learn is in connect groups, small group meetings where you've got a supportive environment. Doesn't matter if you make a blue or two. You've got somebody to mentor you there, people to cheer you on, and to get the confidence of recognizing of spirits as things that others who do that, operate in it, can train you in it. And the funniest thing happened this week. You know the Peters? The Peters sent me a link. They have sent me 3 10-minute sessions on how to prophesy to put into that you can use in your connect groups. It's the practical how-tos. So if anybody is interested, I will give you the link. So sometimes it's really helpful if there are some guidelines. Okay, so what stops us? We talked about it, fear. What happens when fear rules? We quench the Spirit of God. Quench not the Spirit of God. Remember Gary mentioned a cause last week? It was to build the body of Christ, to go forth and minister in the power of the Spirit. So let's get building. Let's up our game, Hope Point. Let's stir up the gift that is within us. Let's stir up and ask. Let's make some withdrawals. I, as a baby Christian, used to ask God every day, "Okay, God, speak to me today." He actually showed me there was a girl in the shop that I was working in that was stealing out of the till. I had a dream. I woke up the next day and I knew that lady was taking stuff out of the till. I went to the boss, who was a Christian who came to our church. He said, "Look," he said, "I can't do anything because you've had a dream." So 2 days later, they got the shoppers in. Now, the shoppers are people who they pretend to be buying things, but they're really watching all the staff's behavior around the till. And so this woman got caught twice on the one incident. So God can speak to you. God can show you things. You just have to be on the ready, on the alert. I think we probably need to repent for how we've ignored him. I think that would be a good start. Why don't we bow our heads right now? Lord, we have been klutzy sometimes. We have been thick-headed. We've been insensitive. And we ask you to forgive us. We ask you that this is a gift-empowered church. Lord, we want to stir up the gift that is within us. We want to see the vision, the purpose of the gifts. We want you to get a reward out of us because we have used the gifts for your purposes, for your glory. Lord, stir us again. If we've got unbelief and we're too tentative, show us. Speak to us. Clarify it to us, Lord. God, we want to present ourselves as living sacrifices to be used for your purposes. Lord, we might say we do it, but help us to be willing to step out in the boldness of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let nobody be unattended because we didn't stir up our gift. Let no need, a person has a burden because we didn't stir up our need, our gift. Lord, let nobody be under-encouraged because we have bothered to seek on other people's behalf. Lord, empower us. house today afresh. Pour out your spirit afresh so that we can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We want this church to be flourishing, to be powerful, to be filled with the Spirit, Lord. We know that without the Spirit, we haven't got much. Lord, we've got your Holy Ghost. Help us to just glorify you in every way possible in this church. Amen.